Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, January 2nd, 2025, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in Bill's story. We're on page 11, fourth full paragraph, beginning with, "Had this power originated in him," through the end of that paragraph with, "And that was none at all." We are reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Diane M.C. reading the 12 steps, Diane B. reading the 12 traditions, Janice P. reading the text, Kathy M. is reading page 164, and Vanessa G. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Christina M. The announcements will be Jody E. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, January 1st, 2026. Wow, funny saying that. 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,079 or 23,079. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,081 or 23,081. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Diane M.C. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning. Happy New Year, precious Vision family. This is Diane M.C. of Chicagoland and a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made the decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for his knowledge of us, of his will for us, and the power to carry that out. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Diane C. And I will now ask Diane B. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey, Diane.
Good morning, Stephanie. This is the other Diane, Diane B. from Tarrytown, New York. These are the 12 traditions of OA. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Diane B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics. We are in Bill's story, page 11, fourth full paragraph, beginning with, had this power originated in him, ending with, and that was none at all. And we're going to read and comment on that one paragraph this morning, and I will now ask Janice PM to please get us started. Good morning, Janice.
And good morning to you, Stephanie. My pleasure. My pleasure. My name is Janice PM, and I'm from Massachusetts, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater for today. Had this power originated in him? Obviously, it had not. There had been no more power in him than there was in me at that minute, and this was none at all. Read little sentences, big message. Well, had this power. Well, if you notice the word power, it starts with the small p. So that doesn't pertain to any divine intervention. It's me. It's my control, power. My control, my power. So now, you know, the question is, did Ebby, his friend, who was a friend while he was drinking, a good buddy, a drinking buddy, accomplish this miracle by his own willpower? Could Ebby do this? So, you know, of course not. He couldn't. But you got to review that paragraph before, because remember, my friend sat before me, who is a proof. Ebby was proof that gave us the solution that God had done for him, what he could not do for himself. His human will had failed. Well, Bill knows that because they both drank, so he knew how powerless he was. But Bill is still drinking, see? So they did share the same powerlessness together, didn't they? Because no human power, like with myself, no human power could fix me, could make me stop eating and behaviors. You know, they say about willpower. Well, if you have enough willpower, you'll do it. Well, let me tell you something. Willpower did not fix me when it came to my illness of compulsive overeating. I had a lot of willpower. I could stop doing this behavior. I could stop doing that. I could stop going out and study so I could be a teacher, et cetera, et cetera. But I have to open my mind and complete defeat like Bill had. Bill had step one. He was completely defeated, wasn't he? But he still had that intellectual pride. He still had prejudices like myself. So this is such an example of a divine intervention with Ebby, who was his drunk drinking buddy, like I had plenty of them. You know, I would be so happy to go out because I know I could eat with them, or I would eat their food. But the power wasn't in me. I didn't have that power of choice because I was so blocked from all the stuff I was doing and eating that was no good for me. And so Bill is starting to open his mind. He's starting to become teachable by Ebby, because that's his trusted friend. He can't understand what he said God has done for him. Because he knew he couldn't do anything for himself. Because Bill knows that he can't do anything for himself. He tried.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. He tried different measures. So we have to, when we get recovered, this is an example of us helping somebody else. We must not ever forget to give away this gift. And this, and with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Oh, thank you so much, Janice PM. And we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others may share their experiences too. So if you share it on Wednesday or Thursday on any of the Vision meetings, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes so that we can get as many people as possible in. I'll remind you when your time is up. If you'd like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Elena C.
Elena D. I've got Elena C. Elena, where are you calling from?
South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Roz G.
Diane M.
I think I heard Eileen M. And then did I hear Diane?
Yes, from Georgia. Diane N.
Diane N. from Georgia. I heard your
voice. Hillary B. Hillary B.
Hillary, where are you calling from?
California.
Okay. And Bruce, Christina, you're from Florida.
Christina J.
Christina
Maria
J. And Christina, where are you calling from?
Danielle
Washington,
P. in Colorado.
Washington State.
Christina, was that Washington State? Okay.
Yes.
Got you. Okay. And I didn't hear anyone after that.
Maria C.
Lori T., California.
I heard Maria C., I believe.
Yes.
Is that correct? And Maria, where are you calling from?
Correct. California.
California. And Lori T., I heard you. Where are you calling from?
California. Thanks.
California. Okay.
Did you hear Danielle P. in Colorado,
okay.
Stephanie?
Hold on. Who is that from Colorado?
Danielle P.
I didn't get you, but now I've got you, Danielle. Danielle P.
Thank
from
you.
Colorado. Sure.
From San Diego.
Okay. Who is that from San Diego? I didn't hear the name. I just heard San Diego.
B.I.
One more time. I'm sorry. I didn't hear that.
B.I.
D.I.?
No, B. Latin W.B.
I'm so sorry.
I
don't think my ear's working right. What was your name again?
It's B. B.W.
B, okay. And what's your last initial?
I,
okay, gotcha. Okay, now let me let y'all know who I've got, okay? I've got Elena C, Eileen M, Diane N, Bruce E, Hillary B, Christina J, Maria C, Lori T, Danielle T, and B, I. I think I got everybody.
Excuse me.
Okay.
What paragraph on page 11 are we on, please?
We're on the fourth full paragraph, had this power originated in him. And we just read that one paragraph. And then we're going to go ahead and get started with the shares. So we're going to go ahead and start with Elena C, followed by Eileen M. Good morning, Elena.
Good morning. My name is Elena C from South Carolina. And so this is an exchange of energies from Abby to Bill. Like Bill expected Abby to be like he used to be. In other words, he had no power. There was no Abby had no power to be able to stop the drinking, and now he sees this power in him, and he says like this power did not originate in him because he couldn't stop. And so he sees this power in him now, and he says that he has it in him, the power of God who does for him what he could not do for himself. And he is very amazed by that. And, compares himself to like he says, I have this power, none at all. And it was when I first started, just when I put the food down, which was I took the first step, and I surrendered to this program. That's when the power of going forward came in, the power of recovery. And then as I started working on the steps, little by little, more power was given to me. And it was not that power to carry through, to carry, to just keep on going, the power to trust that I will be restored to sanity, you know, and then, that power that takes over my will and my life, the power that is, helping me know myself and know my character defects, know my character assets, to own them, make amends that when I was wrong. And this is all a power that is giving is good in my life. It's making me do good in my life. And then I have to do it is I need to know it's there, but I also need this program of action to invite this power into me because it's not in me if I don't invite it. It's with me, but it's not in me. And I am very appreciative for this paragraph. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Elena C. from South Carolina. Next, we've got Eileen M., followed by Diane N. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., gratefully recovered in New Hampshire. Thank you for your service, Stephanie. Interesting word, power. I was thinking back to when I started Vision for You. I found this meeting almost 10 years ago, and I got a sponsor right away. And one of the things she said to me was, part of your work will be to look up words in the dictionary and write them down, write down the definition, even though you think you know what it means. And, so I looked up the word power. And 10 years ago, the definition I found was inability to have an effect. And I got to tell you, that was very profound to me at that time. I thought I knew what power meant, but really what it was saying was I had no effect on this disease on my own. And, you know, I was struggling so much in OA before I found the Vision for You meeting. I was going to face-to-face meetings here in New Hampshire, and, you know, they were not using the big book for literature. And if you're not using the big book in your OA meetings, you're not going to hear the sentence, lack of power is our dilemma. I mean, for me, that's a life-changing statement because, you know, all the years struggling in OA, I thought that it was only a matter of me trying to adhere to a food plan and going to meetings and making phone calls. I mean, those are all great things to do. That's an integral part of my program today. But those things alone did not get me to God. You know, I believed in God, but you all told me on this line that I was blocked from God. So what blocks you from God is compulsive overeating, distorted thinking, and character defects, you know. That was something I didn't know. And so I thought, well, how do I get unblocked? You know, I believed in God, like I said. I didn't know how to get unblocked on my own. And my sponsor said, you know, get entirely abstinent, which I did. And I went through all 12 steps with entire abstinence, and I got restored to sanity. And I did not do that. I cannot restore myself to sanity. You know, that was done to me. And so my job now is to maintain the gift of recovery. And I'm so grateful for this meeting. I mean, here we are. We're in a new year, and I'm so grateful to be recovered. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Eileen M. from New Hampshire. Next, we've got Diane N., followed by Bruce E. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning. I'm Diane. I'm a recovered, not cured, compulsive overeater, recovered today by God's grace and mercy. And I just love this, everything that I've heard today. Thank you all for your service and for taking this meeting. This reading reminded me, I've been in the room since 1980, and we used to say years ago, just pray for the willingness to be willing. And I would say that all the time as if it held some kind of magical powers or something. And I still kept eating compulsively. I'm a relapse survivor. So just hearing this, thinking that this is something we can do on our own, it's something that I'm so grateful I was able to come to that realization that I was not, and I can have as much willpower as I want, and I would gather up everything I could and try to work this program using willpower. And I didn't have any of that either. It didn't last. But the power, it's as if Bill's eyes were open and he realized that, you know, his friend Abby didn't have any power either, but didn't have any power either, but he had found the answer or knew what to do to make a difference in his life. Like I said, I've been in the room since 1980, in recovery since the pandemic, 2020, January the 1st, which was yesterday. I had 6 years of recovery. For years, I thought that abstinence would take care of me, would treat my disease, and I really tried real hard with that willpower thing to just be abstinent, to work on the food. And it took me coming all these years to come to the realization that, like I said, willpower is not going to help. That I needed to work I needed a psychic change, I needed a spiritual change, and like I said, it took me real years to come to the realization that the answer was not with me, with the food. The answer was with the spiritual recovery. If I wanted help with this disease, a spiritual program. So I'm grateful today for that. I'm grateful for this miracle of recovery. And I know it's been 6 years. I have said it before, but I was a person who would come into the rooms and say I'm one of those unfortunates. I just can't get this program. And that's because I was never following directions. I was kept doing it my way, trying to muster up my strength, trying to use my willpower, not wanting to follow the directions, which says just follow, you know, just you got to, it's a spiritual program. And I thought, I wanted to say I was able to receive the gift of desperation. I was able to listen. I was able to follow directions, not trying to pick and choose the steps I wanted to work. I had to work these steps. Today I'm grateful for recovery. 6 years. This is, like I said, I can't say it enough. I was a person that thought I couldn't get this thought I was one of those unfortunates. But today, I know it was a miracle. I'm just grateful I was able to receive this gift of recovery. Thank you. I pass. Thank you all for your service.
Thank you so much, Diane N., and congrats on 6 years. What a miracle. Next, we've got Bruce E., followed by Hillary B. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning. This is Bruce E. I'm recovered. I'm in Southwest Florida. And I am powerless over food. I'm powerless over food. I'm powerless over myself. I'm powerless over my wife. I'm powerless over God. And I'm powerless. And I think that's what Bill is saying here. Is had this power, he's looking at Abby, he's noticing Abby's got some power, or there's power around him, wherever. Had this power originated him, obviously it had not. There had been no more power in him than there was in me at the minute, and this was none at all. He's powerless. He realizes he's powerless, just as I am powerless. I'm powerless over basically everything that happens. I am totally powerless. I'm powerless over God. You know, I can't make God do things I want him to do. You know, I've tried that. It didn't work. Blame God for things that didn't work either. So where's the power come from? Well, it doesn't come from me, you know. It's got to come from God. But how do I get that power? That's the question. Well, I prayed and prayed and prayed that God would give me the power. You know, I really, really prayed about that. Prayed, God, take this food away from me. Take this addiction away from me. Give me the power to overcome this addiction, that stuff. I never could get that one to work either, you know. So like I heard, I think, from the lady that did the introduction here today, introductory share, that God comes with the power and he does the work, and he doesn't give me the power. If he gave me the power, I'd go around and brag about it. I got power. Let me, you know, I got this power. No, because he knows my ego is too big to handle something like that. And so how did it work? Well, I got a sponsor, started reading the big book, and I'd read all the other books till they were worn out. Started reading the big book and didn't get power. Started reading the big book and with another, you know, food addict. And it just started working. And, you know, I don't know, you know, about the power thing, you know, but it just started working, you know. So I guess I had the gift of desperation first, you know. I mean, I was desperate, man. I was really, really hurting. And I really needed help. And I was, what was I, 60, 65 at the time, 70, and 75, I'm not sure. And my sponsor said to me, okay, you've been in OA all this time, you didn't get abstinent, you know, you've been in 25 years, you never got abstinent, you want to go another 25 years and not get abstinent? I thought, no, I'll be dead then. You know, I don't want to die in this disease. Thank you, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Brucey from Florida. And before we go to our next share, let me remind y'all where we're at. We're in Bill's story on page 11. We read the fourth full paragraph beginning with, had this power originated in him, ending with, and that was not at all. And we read that paragraph, and that's what we are commenting on this morning. Next, we've got Hillary B., followed by Christina J. Good morning, Hillary.
Good morning, Stephanie. Hillary B. from Southern California, compulsive overeater. And had this power originated in him? Had this power originated in me? No. Obviously, it had not, because I was in OA from 1981 until 2000. Well, I don't know, let's just say 3 years ago. And it took all that time until 3 years ago, 40-something years, before I could really surrender that, I to say I have no power. I have no power. I already had a faith from all those years in program. I had a faith in my higher, I had a higher power. I had a faith, but not about food. I couldn't let go of the food. I wanted so desperately to have the power over the food. I didn't want to give up that drug. I did not want to give up the best drug I've ever had, which was food, especially sugar, salt, and fat. And there was no power in me, and there still is no power in me. The most power I have is when I let go and let my higher power have charge of me. Then I'm able to not compulsively overeat one day. Then I'm able to be kind. Then I'm able to get myself out of the way and receive, because my higher power is always there, always, always there with love, with direction, with wisdom, with support, with so many things. But if I don't get out of the way, if I'm still running on my own power, I can't receive all those gifts that my higher power has for me, all that direction, all that support, including what I get from you guys when I reach out to you, including what I get from you guys listening to you share in the meeting. I can't receive any of it when I'm under my own will, because I'm in the way. I'm in my own way, and I only receive what my ego allows me to receive, or what I want, or what makes me feel good about myself, or what feeds my ego, or whatever. I need to be open all the time, and food shuts me off right away. Food takes control. My alcoholic foods take control the minute I put them in my mouth, and I'm off and running. So I'm very, very grateful to have this period of abstinence, which I'm not going to tell you how long it is, because I only have today. And there's my 3 minutes. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for leading, Stephanie.
That was perfect timing. Hillary B. from California. Next, we've got Christina J., followed by Maria C. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning, everyone. Christina J. in Washington. You know, I went through life thinking I could control everything. We're told that we can accomplish anything we want. Now, how is God going to take a person like me who figures she can figure it all out, control it, and even though I'm absorbed in the food and my life is completely unmanageable, I don't see that, because I take everything that happens as God's will, because I'm in control. I don't even know the difference, right? But I do believe that God lives in me. He's not out there. He is and he isn't. He's in me. He's in everything. God is everything or is nothing. But as the previous share was speaking, I'm in the way. I'm in the way with all my thoughts of thinking I can control everything. So how is God going to teach me that I need to surrender? How is he going to teach me that I'm powerless over everything? Well, he taught me through this addiction, because there's one thing I couldn't control. Well, there were other things, believe me. But the food was the demon, because it just made me fat. I felt ugly. I was ashamed. It brought up everything in me. This is the way God taught me to surrender, to drop down and know that I am in control of nothing. And I must continue to work on being an open channel so that he can flow through me, in me, and through me. In my entire life, there's no power in me, in my ego, quote, myself, you know, in my will. There's no power in that, in all of me, my, and I. The power comes from the one. I believe God does everything through us, and I believe all my gyrations in the past, it was okay. I was using my free will because God was teaching me through all of that. I can have no regrets, because I believe that everything was God in my life teaching me, bringing me to this moment when I was ready to see my BS. And the food finally took me down over and over and over. Because it's just not there. I'm blocking, as so many have said, I'm blocking the free will of God in me. God's will is free, and he wants me to walk in him, to be and do as he would have me be and do. And if something's in the way, like my control, the biggest thing in my life, my ego, oh my pride, my judgments, my feelings that the world should be a certain way, all this stuff is so irritating to me because I can't control it, and then I get into the food. So it's just a big mess. And God finally says, enough. And the pain gets deeper and deeper and deeper, and I dig my hole deeper and deeper and deeper, and finally the grace comes because I surrender. I couldn't do it anymore. It hurts too bad. And somehow, some way, I find this program, and I begin to walk it. And I might stumble along the way because that control was in me since a child. I knew how to do everything. I'm a smart girl. I can figure it out. But no.
Christina.
Now I want to walk. Thank you, as God would have me walk and do and be. And it's a daily journey. Love you all. I pass.
Thank you so much, Christina J. from Washington State. Next, we've got Maria C., followed by Lori T. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning, everybody. This is Maria C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles, California. And, you know, I love what everyone else has already said. This is a wonderful discussion to begin the day. And I think for me, the big feeling I have reading this line, but also practicing this line, you know, practicing step one is the relief, the sense of relief that I feel. And that's something that I try to communicate to people when we're working on step one, too, is just like, oh my goodness, thank God, I don't need to be in control. You know, and step one is that I'm not in control of the food, and not saying, okay, I'm not in control anymore, but acknowledging I was never in control to begin with. And it's just a matter of, do I want the food to control me, or do I want to turn it all over to a loving concept of a higher power? And as we move to step three and we turn over everything else, our will and our life to God, it's even more of a relief. You know, I will do my daily inventories, my nightly reviews, and I'll land on fear. I'll land on so much fear, and I'll write about it. And I can get really fixated if I'm left to my own devices on, like, what do I do? What do I do with my future? How am I going to be able to do this? I have no idea. There's nothing in front of me. Oh my gosh, these big, you know, life changes. What are my 30s supposed to look like? And then it's just, you know, keep it simple, stupid. You don't know. And the relief is that I never knew. I never was able to know. It was all just this false sense of control to try to make myself feel better. And instead I can pause, I can breathe, I can ask God for the next right action. And usually the next right action is just taking care of my body, taking care of my mind, taking care of my soul, and calming myself down. And then I can go from there, because when left to my own devices, not only I'm half my top weight, guys. Like, not only was I killing myself with food, but I was just terrified all the time. And now when I feel fear, I have a way of life that helps me move through it. So thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Maria C. from California. Next, we've got Lori T., followed by Danielle T. Lori, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, everyone, for your share. Good morning. I loved everyone's share so far, and I'm trying not to assume anything here. Bill's is pretty much a newcomer as he writes this, and I'm trying to assume that, like, what is power, and how am I assuming what power is? And it's sort of it makes me laugh that, you know, when he says, obviously, you know, this power did not originate in him. And, you know, where did this power come from? Because the paragraph before that, you know, he said, my friend sat before me and he made a point blank declaration that God had done for him what he couldn't do for himself. And then he says, you know, had this power originated in him? Well, obviously not. There had been no more power in him than there was at me at that moment. And this, there was none at all. But, you know, was it power or was it, you know, I could say like, was it, is it power that makes me a good skier, or a good pickleball player? Is it power that God is giving me that made me intelligent? I don't know, but there's something there. And I do believe in God, but I don't know that it's power. It's, is it a miracle? Is it, you know, I don't really know why God has given me this miracle and gift to stay abstinent and sober one day at a time. And why didn't he give me this power when I asked for it when I was 17 years old? I would have over 50 years abstinence if he had given me that power then. And, you know, I do have over 40 years, close to 40 years of sobriety. I would have had over 50 years of abstinence, but, and even, you know, with being human, it's like we're not perfect. The power doesn't always stay with us. So, you know, I don't know, I'm looking at it from a more philosophical point today, not spiritual. But it is spiritual that we're human and we make mistakes. And that's why I like to say, I'm abstinent today, God willing. And hopefully, you know, God willing, I'll continue one day at a time to stay sober and clean and abstinent and not to burst anyone's bubble with, oh, I have so many years, but I just like to keep it real and just rely on my God a day at a time to help me do this thing because I really don't know what I'm doing. I'm just trying to do it one day at a time. With God, I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Lori T. from California. Next, we've got Danielle T., followed by B.I. Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning, Stephanie. Hello, everyone. Hello, my fellows. My name is Danielle T., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. I just loved all the shares today. Gosh, Bill saw that God had done for Ebby what he could never have done on his own strength or power. And that is the understatement of the decade for me. Before working the steps with a recovered sponsor, I had zero power to resist sugar or compulsive eating. And thanks to this program, those things do not even faze me today. A miracle happened in my life too, and God gave me the power I completely lacked. As the Big Book promised, I received a little more power with every step. I had to surrender to the reality of my situation and take that leap of faith. I had to turn my life over to a power greater than myself, which meant getting honest in all of my affairs. It meant taking a close look at all of my resentments and fears and seeing my part in it all, seeing how I was barging through life as I wanted. It meant humbling myself and making amends for any harms I had done. When I had finally gotten all of my affairs in order, I gained that power and such freedom. When I think back on all the miracles God has performed in my life, I am in complete awe. So I know I have a higher power on my side who wants the best for me and therefore can apply these principles to other areas of my life. For example, in my work life, in building a business, which seems insurmountable, in my financial life, or even in being punctual, which has been a huge challenge for me as long as I can remember. When I keep close to my higher power, seek out his will for me daily, and continue living in steps 10, 11, and 12, as the Big Book suggests, I have hope. I have a shot at these things. I have the hope of overcoming other impossible things. I am so grateful for my abstinence today. Happy New Year, everyone. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Danielle T. in Colorado. Next, we've got B.I. Good morning, B.
Good morning. Thank you. This is my first time speaking at a Vision for You, so I'm a little bit nervous. I've only been in program for 12 months, and I've never been in 12-step before, so I'm a greenhorn. The thing I hear in Bill is this kind of like, bewilderment that this guy managed to do this thing. Because it's like, I keep thinking about Bill's arrogance of you know, this guy, Eddie, is a train wreck. And how can he be stood in front of me looking like this right now? I don't get it. It just didn't make sense. And I identify with that because I've been 61 years of my life without program, without anything. I've been running my show for an awful long time before I crawled here on my knees. And I got the gift of being struck abstinent, which is a remarkable thing I can take no credit for whatsoever. And there was a white light moment where my higher power spoke to me. And the only thing I can attribute that to is rather like Bill. That was the only way going to work for me. It's like my higher power said, okay, so you've been running the show for all this time. Here, I'm going to speak to you and I want to take your food away from you. Now get on with it. Now get on with the real work, which is sorting your life out. And that's what I've been on with for the past 13 months. And thank God for the big book. Came to it with no prior experience. I find it to be the most amazing piece of literature I've ever read in my life. Talk about rules for living. Remarkable. And, yeah, one day at a time, I keep working at it. So I was given a gift, and now I intend to keep it. And that's what I'm trying to do every day, one day at a time. Love this meeting. Wonderful recovery here. Very inspiring. Thank you for letting me join you.
Thank you so much, B.I. from California. And guys, we've got time for a two-minute share. Who would like to take 2 minutes? Anyone who'd like to take a two-minute share?
I'll do it, Stephanie. It's Dana P.
Go for it, Dana.
Hi, thanks very much. Good morning, friends and fellows. It's really wonderful to be here with all of you in this new year. It's so interesting. I'm listening to all the shares, and you know, I resonate with what everyone said, so nothing I'm going to say is probably new or all that interesting. But for me, this question that Bill is asking, it's really kind of moot. You know, it's like where, when, why, how, let me figure this out. I have to stop that and just buckle down and do what was suggested of me, follow the steps, and I got abstinent and recovered since 2020, May of 2020, from compulsive overeating and purge vomiting. So I'm really grateful for that. And there's more layers to this, you know. It's not enough to be abstinent. It's not enough to be sober. I've been sober for 32 years as well. It's not enough, you know. So what do? I have to continue to take suggestions and continue to do the steps. I'm taking another journey through the steps around all of that. Fix, control, figure it out. And it's remarkable. It's not a one and done sort of white light experience, but I feel the power flowing in, and I feel, experiencing the white light in a different sort of way. So I'm really grateful to be here today. Thank you, everybody, for a wonderful meeting, and I'm going to pass.
And Dana, where are you calling from? Oh, that's okay. We'll keep moving. Thank you so much, Dana P.
Oh, sorry. I think you said California.
California. All righty. Perfect. Thank you. All right. We're now going to close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Kathy M., can you please read a vision for you?
Good morning. This is Kathy M. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.